RTL Stories, the podcast with Lisa Burke from RTL Group.
More people voted for Pop Idol in the UK than they did for the election, I think, at one point, the general election. It was the most talk about show. It was in the zeitgeist. I just was sucked in. It just did a bit of everything. It was reality. It was music. And I loved it. And that I just thought, if I'm going to make TV, which I knew I always wanted to do because I was a total television addict as a child.
Which some parents would worry about. But in your case, they're probably incredibly proud.
Yeah, but that didn't stop my mother wanting me to watch limited amounts of TV. There was very strict rules, which I tried to break regularly, of what I was allowed to watch and not allowed to watch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RTL Stories, the podcast. I'm Lisa Burke, based here at RTL in Luxembourg. And in this series, we are exploring the lives of some people who've made RTL their career home, investigate what they do and how they got there. Today, we're going to be speaking to someone who lives and breathes television. She's worked on shows including Britain's Got Talent, The X Factor, and Too Hot to Handle. Starting as a runner, she now leads a company as CEO. The company is Fremantle UK, and this amazing lady at the helm is Amelia Brown. Welcome to the show, Amelia.
Hi, how are you?
So a little more about you for people who don't know you. You first joined Fremantle in 2003 as a freelancer. Fremantle is RTL Group's international content powerhouse, operating in 27 countries. The company is behind productions such as Oscar-winning Poor Things and works with renowned filmmakers such as Angelina Jolie and Edward Berger. In the UK, Fremantle operates 12 labels. One of them is Thames, where you also served as managing director from 2017, and you've been a key creative force behind the scenes. Now, in 2023, you made the decision to actually leave Fremantle to launch your own production company. But just 3 months later, an irresistible opportunity came your way and led you back into the world of Fremantle. So, Amelia, that is an amazing CV and what a Cinderella story as well. First of all, though, please explain to our listeners who may not live in the world of television, what's a runner?
So, I mean, a runner, I think across most genres is the same, but it's the entry level job in TV production, and it can involve many things. You know, you can be making tea, you can be printing off scripts, you can be driving people somewhere or tape somewhere, or you know, back in the day, your big job was always taking the rushes from filming. From shoot locations to the edits, which was always quite petrifying because you had the entire show, you know, your responsibility. But yeah, it's the entry level job and your starting block to your career in TV, basically.
And it really allows you to see so many different roles within TV. And now, of course, you're CEO. So when we were chatting before in our preparation, you said you're somebody who always has a plan. Could you ever have thought that when you were a runner, your plan would be to be CEO or something of that ilk?
No, I mean, I've always had a plan in terms of, I always do have a plan, but probably not quite as long a, you know, a future plan as from when I, you know, from runner to CEO. But I definitely knew the very first moment I was at Fremantle, it was all about Pop Idol. That was the show I wanted to work on no matter what. It was the show that made me go, that's what I want to do, when I was at university. So I did all I could to get on the show. And then when I did, it felt very much like I'd found my place for a long time at Fremantle. So, yeah, so I guess then my plans began in terms of, right, what's the next step or what's the next few steps ahead in terms of where my career's, I would love my career to go. And then it was easy to make that plan because I had amazing people in front of me to learn from and that championed me and that supported me and that gave me opportunities. So it wasn't a solely me made plan. It was very much a me with many other people involved who were sort of pushing me forward or even bringing me forward through the Fremantle sort of ladder, really.
What was it about Pop Idol that really drew you in as a show?
Well, it was just so good. But it was the first of its kind. It was, you know, more people voted for Pop Idol in the UK than they did for the election, I think, at one point, the general election. It was the most talk about show. It was in the zeitgeist. I was a university student, so, you know, when you're eating your cheap pasta and only watching telly, that was all we did. But it changed. It changed a lot about television because it was a moment, and it set off a series of other shows afterwards. It wasn't just a one-off. It was something that triggered a world of reality, how we all viewed television, how we all consumed television. You know, even things like the voting was revolutionary in terms of what we had voted for before on TV. So yeah, it was enormous. But I just was sucked in. It just did a bit of everything. It was reality, it was music, and I loved it. And that I just thought, if I'm going to make TV, which I knew I always wanted to do because I was a total television addict as a child.
Which some parents would worry about, but in your case, they're probably incredibly proud.
Yeah, but that didn't stop my mother wanting me to watch limited amounts of TV. There was very strict rules, which I tried to break regularly, of what I was allowed to watch and not allowed to watch. So I'm not sure that paid off. But now, of course, she's very proud and fine. But at the time, she was very strict with my consuming of television, which I definitely snuck out quite a lot to try and watch it at various neighbours or friends' house.
Well, it worked out very well in the end. You mentioned that audiences don't get bored, producers do. And I'm keen to just unravel that a little bit because I think audiences can get bored. And I just wonder, you know, you mentioned Pop Idol and, you know, in the introduction, there's so many incredible shows that Fremantle are behind. How do you keep a long-running show fresh if the format's not changing and often the casting doesn't change that regularly either? So how do you give the audience what you think they want?
I think the main thing is, it's very hard. Long running formats are the dream when it comes to being running a television company, and they are the hardest to keep fresh, as you said. My point about audiences not getting bored but producers do is I think producers are more inclined to rip up the format book and go, no, we need to do it like this, we need to change it. And sometimes we change things, and I'm guilty of this as well. You change things for the sake of change, and then you end up delivering the audience something that they never invested in the first place because it's too far removed from the original. Whereas actually, I believe that what you need to do is just keep everything of the quality it was in the first place and keep the stories original. And if you're making a format that tends to be repetitive by the pure type of format, e.g. the Got Talent franchise, you know, it is still people arrive, people audition, you know, they get judged and then they leave. So the only way to keep that fresh is to make sure that casting is at the top of its game, is fresh, is brilliant. And the most important rule is, if you're going to do something you've done before, that's fine. It just needs to be better. It needs to be a better version of what you've done before. The secret power of the superpower of something like Got Talent is you still don't know what that person or that act or those people are going to do, or that animal is going to do when they walk out on stage. And that's the suspense. And that's where you have the opportunity to keep it fresh, because you can surprise, you can show things that never been seen before, etc.
And Fremantle, of course, is known for being an extremely strong, solid, trusted producer of content, great content. Do you think that limits your risk-taking when it comes to concept formats?
I don't think so. I think the fact that Fremantle's number one thing is to make sure we make premium content, that it will be, and that we want to be top of class, and that we make irresistible entertainment. I think that does the opposite. I think it allows us to have a comfort in the fact that we can deliver, and therefore we can then come up with anything in terms of the ideas, because the combination of a new idea with Fremantle's track record of making something brilliantly is undeniable and irresistible. So yeah, I think risks in general there's fewer of them in the industry all round because it's a complicated market now. So I think that's probably more where the challenges are, not about the risks of us coming up with the ideas. It's the risks of people taking punts on new ideas because we're in a slightly trickier time than we were, say, 20 years ago. But you know, Got Talent and X Factor were seen as huge risks. You know, I remember Got Talent when the first ever series, and the network wanted to pull out the day before because they suddenly panicked that it wasn't going to work.
That's a great story.
But Fremantle and Simon Cowell actually went, no, we're going to keep going. It's going to work. And then they sort of crossed their fingers and went, right, we're in it. And I think after the first day they went, yeah, we're all right, it's a hit.
But they forged on through.
So yeah. But that, you know, it was a big risk, that show and actually a lot of shows. First series of anything, I think, can be seen as a risk.
You said it's a complex market now, and of course we can understand all the reasons why that is, particularly with the introduction of social media and the way in which people imbibe their media these days. So how are you handling that with your content?
I think the main thing is don't lose the key elements of what we've always done, which is tell brilliant stories, tell them well, and make sure it's still premium content. And by premium, that doesn't mean it needs to cost an arm and a neck and like be hugely expensive. It just needs to be of a level where the storytelling is thoughtful, clever, looks good, and is engaging to a point. So I think I think it's important that they all remain the same, because the viewer still, wherever they're viewing, whatever platform and however they're consuming, that's still key. I think the things to think about with the changing market is the age range of the people we're trying to engage with, the fact that concentration and it is shorter, so you need to get to things much quicker. And I think the fact that, you know, the competition is bigger because the options and the choice is much broader. So you need to just make sure you've got something that's going to be talk about and cut through and sort of come to the top of the pile.
And then you've dealt with so much talent. You mentioned Simon Cowell, and I know he's in your address book along with so many others. Well, two things here. Firstly, how do you keep the line between your professional work and deeper friendships, particularly in your role now?
I think the sort of friendship and professional line is very dependent on the people as well. There's some, you know, some engage more than others, and some you want to engage with more than others. I mean, I have very close relationships with a lot of the talent on our big formats, but that's purely because after 23 years of making them, you would question why I didn't.
So you've grown up together, in effect.
Yeah, you've grown up together. And, you know, we have, and our lives have changed. You know, the Amanda and Alicia are the two female judges on our show, and we're great friends, and they're fabulous, and we have a lot of fun together. But, you know, we've seen each other have babies and get married, and, you know, all of those things that you do with your friends. But I also think, to that point, it is also important when you work in this industry, which can be all consuming for quite a lot of the time, which I sort of love as well, but it is important to create boundaries for yourself, because mainly for your sanity, but I think also creatively, because if you're too in something or without any other out sources or any other actually things to input into your life, then you'll become too one-dimensional creatively as well as professionally.
Well, I was going to ask you, actually, how do you fuel your creativity? Because that's how you started out. And it's something that was always very important to you when you've described the work that you do. And I know being a manager, CEOs, it requires different skills, but still you have to make the ultimate creative decisions. So how do you personally and for your team fuel that creativity?
That's probably the hardest thing as you move further up in terms of responsibility. And actually, I don't know whether I do have the sort of final creative input now, but I think that's a good thing, because I hope, because of my role, because it involves so many other elements now, it would not be the best for the programming and the content and for Fremantle. So what I do now is make sure that everyone around me and everyone on the team and part of Fremantle, because nothing is made by one person, it's made by hundreds of people, is that those people are feeling they're the creative geniuses. They're the ones who are also as passionate as I was or still am, because you fundamentally need brain space. And sometimes that's just not possible when you've got a lot of other responsibilities that come with the role. But you have to try and take time. You have to try and fill your cup a lot. If you're stuck doing the same thing and you get into a routine and, you're only watching one show or not going out and going to the theatre or going to other shows, then you can't creatively fill your cup. So it's a combination of things. But now in my role, the most important thing is everybody else on the team, I think, in terms of creative input.
So that's...
Plus, I think it's really important as well, because we cannot make content in this day and age and it only come from one voice or one brain. It has to come from multiple voices, because that's the audience that we're trying to serve as well.
And that, of course, is reflected in the talent that you have on air talent, as we say, the presenters, and the casting for the big shows, the big formats that you do. What makes good talent?
Good talent are people that are as passionate about the show or the programme that you're making as the producers. Talent that are sort of there to clock in and sort of what I would say take the check, it just shows. Whereas talent who love the storytelling, love the show, love the people, and I think this is across all genres, they're the ones that become the stars, and they're the ones that the people at home want to watch, because you can't, it's an authenticity to that love of what they're doing that shows and comes through the screen, whatever screen that may be. So I think that's the key thing. And being really appreciative of the system and the process is also good. It's amazing. Some people are wonderful at that and get it, and others not so much.
Well, let's bring it back to Fremantle and the company, the world of diverse media. And, you're a lady with a plan. You're at the helm. You can forge that plan through. What is your plan for Fremantle UK?
Gosh, big question. The plan for Fremantle is, the industry is tougher now than it was a few years ago, but that's, I think we're just at a point of pivoting. So what comes with that, I think, is also huge amounts of opportunity. So it's making sure we are fit for purpose for the new opportunities and embracing the new, as opposed to sometimes when you're a company that's been around a long time and has a certain business model or has done things a certain way, that can sometimes hinder you when change is afoot. So it's making sure we're got the best team and the best people in order to grab those opportunities. But fundamentally, my real goal is to carry on creating or helping run a company that made me feel like I could do anything in my career and became a place where I was super happy and always had opportunity and learned loads and then ended up in the role I'm in. And I know I'm probably more the exception than the rule, especially in a freelance world, to someone who stayed at a company for a really long time. But if Fremantle UK continues to be somewhere that creatives are drawn to, that good people are drawn to, and amazing content comes out of, then we're good and I've done my job, I think.
Why did you choose to stay behind camera?
Gosh, it never even crossed my mind to be in front of camera. I've always been, even at school, I was someone who loved, well, I think it probably started with me being super bossy, even though I'm not supposed to describe women as bossy anymore, but I was bossy. But I was always fascinated on how things worked. Like at school plays, I did drama and stuff, but actually then I moved on to the fact that I wanted to be the person who was producing the shows and the theatre, not being on the stage. Because I just loved that. I loved how things were done. Still, I did theatre studies A-level, and that was all about, how productions get put together. And still now, if I go to a show of any sort, I'm the one who, obviously I'm watching the story, but I'm also, my brain automatically goes to, well, where did that piece of set come from? And where's that, how's that lighting? And gosh, that's amazing how they've done that. And I wonder what they're doing backstage. That's just where my brain goes to. So I think I was always destined to be someone who worked behind the scenes in production of some sort.
I love the fact that your cat has joined the conversation.
Oh, yes, one of the cats has come down the...
Cats normally give us an excellent endpoint. So before the cat needs a cuddle, I just have a couple more questions. I mentioned that you did sidestep and you were about to set up your own production company before you were offered the position of CEO. And so I wonder if you're going to use all of your creative spirit and ideas and producing abilities within Fremantle, are you going to save them for another day in a future Amelia Brown production company? Dare I ask?
Who knows? I feel that this job is the start of something long term. Well, I hope it is anyway, because it is the one that I had in my sights. It's one that I probably at some point thought would never be an option, but yet did. So whilst I was excited to start my company or a company, this has obviously, you know, whilst I have a plan, the plan changed drastically. Who knows in the future? I don't know. It takes a very special, very entrepreneurial type of person to start up your own company. But I think any input that I was going to put into that, I'll definitely be putting into this job. So I don't think I'm saving anything. So we'll see.
Well, I think your cat is suggesting it's time to end the conversation. Have you any other thoughts that you would like to share with the listeners or the viewers about life in the world of content production? I say content rather than television because it is changing so much, as you've said.
I would say that we must always just remember that content is key, and that's the business we're in, which is great. I think sometimes we can forget that, especially in current climate. And to always trust your gut. Again, with so many inputs from various angles, it's quite easy to question your gut, whether that's creatively or from a managerial point of view. And for anyone starting out in the business or early on in their career, initiative is key. It's the thing that gets forgotten and the thing that gets underestimated, I think, the most. But when I was started as a runner at Fremantle, I think it was the initiative of just not waiting for someone to ask me for something to do and just doing it is probably what helped trigger that path.
And on that point, which was my final question to you, for somebody coming in at the stage that you did post-university as a runner, what is the best route for them now?
It's the same. It's finding, it's not taking no for an answer for a lot. It's finding a show that you like or you're interested in, or people or stories, because if you're passionate about that show or what that company may do, like I was, it'll set you up much better than if you just take a job for a job's sake. It is trickier at the moment, but that doesn't mean there isn't places to be and creative roles to be had. But yeah, just show your initiative, be enthusiastic and positive, but choose a company or an area or a genre that you will be passionate in, because it's hard work and you need to be prepared to work hard, but it's worth it if it's something that you have a definitive interest in, for sure. And find a company that thinks the same way and has a good culture like Fremantle does, because that helps a huge amount.
Well, I think after this, you might be getting some applications thrown your way. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening to this episode. If you're part of RTL, we always love to hear from you and we want to know your thoughts. Of course, you can find us on the RTL Group intranet. In the comments section, you can also get in touch on one of the social media platforms, including RTL Group on LinkedIn, X, YouTube and Instagram. Amelia, we thank you for your time and wish you the greatest of success in your role as CEO of Fremantle UK.
Thank you so much.